kind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Mark is ink out there now.
Is this storm going to last all night?
Oh, now you stop worrying. Kate, snug in that cottage.
Oh, whatever possessed her to go out to that island on a day like this?
Well, it won't storm when she left. And Kate's real handy with a boat.
Oh, boy, I'd be terrified.
Well, that's because you don't know the sea, Trudy. Not like Kate. Why, she put out those two white flares and Ben's on his way, and he'll have her back in no time.
Can he get through that storm?
He's been out in a lot worse than this. You know, I'm mighty glad you're here, Trudy. Makes real nice company for me.
Oh, me too, Ruth. See, you've known Kate a long time, haven't you?
Well, ever since she and Tom first come to Gull Island, right after they were married. You know he was drowned right off that island. Disappeared off his boat.
Yeah, she told me.
Well, they never found him. I thought she would never want to come back. But, well, I'm glad she did.
She always talks as if Gull Island were the happiest place she'd ever known.
And I think it was. You know, I can still see her and Tom walking in that door, laughing and joking, and so young, the two of them. And good looking. Why, you think the world was made for them. I guess it was, for a while.
You know, Ruth, I don't think I really know Kate at all.
You're from the city, aren't you?
Well, I worked there. That's how Kate and I met.
Ah.
But I didn't know this side of her. How she can handle a boat, stay out on the island alone.
Oh, she can do plenty. But, you know, she's changed since Tom died. And I can see it, sort of tight inside, as if she were keeping a lot to herself. Oh, she ought to fall in love again.
What was Tom like?
Oh, now, didn't Kate ever show you his picture?
No.
Oh, I got one right over here, a snapshot. Not very good, but it shows the two of them. Here.
Oh, boy, they are young.
Couple of crazy happy kids. You just wanted to have them around.
Oh, wasn't he attractive?
Tom? Oh, tall, blonde, sunburned, and the way he could smile at you.
Yeah.
You know, I have a daughter. She's married now.
Uh-huh.
And from the day Hannah met him, oh, she was all of 10. Why, she said that he was the only man she'd ever met. Oh, he had a way with him. Now he's gone. Oh! Now, who in the world would be in that? Oh!
Hi, Mrs. Wheeler.
Joey, come in. Lord, you're soaked to the skin.
Not much.
Well, now you've got only one skin, and when that's wet, Joey, you're soaked. Oh, Joey, this is Trudy Kiefer, and she's Kate's friend. And Trudy, this is our neighbor's boy, Joey.
Hi. Mrs. Wheeler, I see the big boat's gone from the mooring.
Why, Ben's gone out to the island to fetch Kate.
I saw the flares on the island a while ago. I was going to go out, but my outboard would be no good against those waves.
Why, Ben'll have Kate back in no time.
Did he think she was in trouble?
I didn't say.
What
kind of trouble?
Well, I just mean being over there, by herself.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, Joey, and you know that.
Yeah, I guess not.
Hey, Joey, I'm just a landlubber. I guess you'd call it that. But I'm sure scared of the sea. What could happen to Kate out there in a storm like this?
Why, nothing, Trudy. She's safe and snug. Is the cottage all right? Why, Ben sees to that.
Joey, what do you think is wrong?
Joey's pretty fond of Kate.
Oh, it isn't that. It isn't that at all. I just can't tell you.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Do you mind my whistling, Kate?
No, not at all.
I like the whistle. Keeps the sound of that bell out. You hear it?
You get used to it, Michael.
No, I never do. Not so afraid of me now, Kate?
No, why should I be? After all, you were a friend of Tom.
Yeah, that's why I've been living here in your cottage. He owed me this. How about eating?
All right.
You make the coffee, I'll open the cans. Which will it be, beans or spaghetti?
Either one.
Then we'll have both. I'm hungry.
Where are you going?
I keep my supplies in a chest upstairs, so if anybody happens to come snooping around, they won't find anything.
Michael.
Yeah?
You know, you made me a promise.
I did? I don't make promises.
You said if I put the white flares out to let them know I was all right, that you'd talk to me about Tom, you remember?
Sure, I guess so.
Couldn't we talk now and eat later?
Yeah, sure, why not? You look pretty, Kate, sitting near the fire. I was at your wedding, you know. You don't remember me, but all that night I thought about being Tom.
You knew Tom well, didn't you?
Sure. We worked together.
Where?
A lot of places. We did okay for a while.
When did you meet Tom?
I don't remember the when of anything. I remember there was a big field with a rock band up on a platform. A lot of kids. A guy sitting there in the mud with a girl on his lap. I wanted a joint, so I asked him.
And he had one.
Sure. We got friendly. I found out he was a rich kid who hated his father. I'd forgotten mine.
Why, Michael?
Don't bug me, Kate. I was making the scene. The flower children. We were going to make the world over if we could stay high. And age 30 would never come.
How old are you, Michael?
31.
So you got Tom to make the scene with you?
No. He went home to marry you.
But you were still friends?
Yeah, sure. I guess so. He looked me up one day.
Why?
I guess you know why.
No, really, I don't. I'd like you to tell me.
He'd moved on from grass to the hard stuff. You must have known that.
Well, at times he did, but he gave it up.
He was hooked, Kate, and he knew it. He wanted to break loose from his old man. I told him how he could make some easy money. I knew the people. He had the boat. We could go into business together.
Doing what?
Oh, man, why should I talk about that? It's over. It's past.
Was it down in the Caribbean?
Yeah. Look, are you going to make that coffee?
In a minute. Michael, look, you don't have to be afraid of telling me. I've already heard that Tom was part of a drug ring down there.
You knew?
Not then, but I was told a little while ago. Tom was not only in the ring, but he had taken some of it for himself.
No, Tom was no skimmer, if that's what you mean. He got good money for moving the shipment.
It was cocaine.
It's a big business now. They're running it in from South America any way they can. Tom, he had no use for it. Flake is head stuff, blows your mind. Tom was on the body stuff.
Michael, you said you might have known a man named Stephen Wolf.
Yeah, I might.
Well, Stephen told me there was a large shipment that Tom had taken and hidden away.
Some people thought so.
Is it true?
Wolf kept Tom strung out for weeks trying to find
out. But was it true?
Tom knew where it went, all right.
Do you, Michael?
What's that?
Michael, Stephen Wolf thinks I know where it is. Michael, he's threatened me.
Yeah, I hear a boat.
Please tell me, did Tom hide it himself?
You were with him, Kate, in Jamaica.
But I didn't know anything about it. I had nothing to do with it. You must know that.
Yes, I know, Kate. I knew everything once. I want to forget.
Where are you going?
Light. I can see him. Red and green. She's coming this way.
Michael, it's all right.
I don't like boats coming. I don't want anyone here.
Well, what are you doing?
You'll see.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great long-lasting hold. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Good day, my dear audience, good day. Have I to introduce myself yet again to that single new listener somewhere in the British Isles? I picture her. Oh, nay, him. Both. Man and wife. Mr. and Mrs. Bundy having their tea and crumpet. A neighbor has said, there's this minx of a girl, Becky Sharp. You ought to listen to how she wraps every soul round her finger. Well, today, the Bundys do listen, but do not yet hear Becky. They hear me. Who's that chap? Honks Bundy. Sir and madam, welcome. I am William Makepeace Thackeray. It is I who write Miss Rebecca Sharp. I now address my long, faithful listeners. Have you missed Sir Pitt the past week or so? Oh, I have. Amuses me to write the old rogue, and so I shall today. At Queen's Crawley, he has stumped up too many stairs to his wife's quarters.
Well, Lady Crawley, Better, are you?
No, stop it.
Oh, bound to be better. Can't go on like this.
No, I cannot go on.
Splendid. You are better, old girl. Come to say I'm off to London.
To see Becky?
To see me confounded sister. Nigh on 4 weeks now, she's had Becky. Fortnights, Matilda says. Send her back in a fortnight. By Gad, I'll bring her back myself tomorrow.
Matilda will not let her come.
Oh, don't say it. Don't want to hear it.
She even doesn't answer your letters.
Seven. Wrote another yesterday, I did. Never a word from Tuttle and dumb Matilda, dumber.
Will you take Becky, my love?
Your what?
My love.
Why should I do that?
We are friends.
Oh, well, did like you said so, full of surprises, Becky is.
And do not, pray do not tell her how ill I am.
Better, you said so.
You said so. Your promise, Pitt, do not tell her.
No doubt she'll ask, more important things to talk of, her and me.
She will ask.
Fit as a fiddle, I'll tell her. That suits you?
Yes, tell her that. And will you take the mittens?
The what?
I knitted mittens for her. The weather's so cold now.
Better you are, or you'd not be able to knit.
It was very hard. It took me all the 4 weeks. They lie there on the table.
Well, red mittens, green tassels, ugh.
Christmas soon will be here.
So it will, and by the eternal, Miss Becky will be at Queen's Crawley for the trees and the roastocks and the hot toddy.
No.
Don't you not to say that, by God, don't say it.
Sir Pitt, I am very weary. Go now up to London. Take the mittens and my love.
Miss Crawley, you'll be enraptured to know that in the post just now came a letter from your devoted brother.
Not another, Becky.
Another.
Open it then and let us have a good laugh at Pitt's spelling. Little rooster daren't say what he would. Oh, how he'd like to rain upon me every oath he knows, and he knows a plenty. But one oath and he fears I'll cut him from my legacy.
Would you? I would. What a fool he is.
He's rich, very. No need of the pittance I've left him.
There's a pun. What is it? A pittance for Pitt?
I say, if he hadn't a preference for piggishness, think how he could curse me and drag you away.
Would I have naught to say?
What would you say, Rebecca?
Oh, as if you don't know.
I do know. Now read the drooling letter.
Dear Sister Matilda, trust your health
is the best now. Mine is poorly without Miss Becky. My accounts in fearful tangle. My little girls cry themselves to sleep for their dear goodness. Enclosed urgent prayers for their return.
And signed just Pitt.
Prayers? Pitt? Now spell out the words where he fell in a puddle.
Health. H-E-L-T-H.
Oh, even Giles can spell better.
No. Giles can't spell at all. Can't read, can't write. One day I may teach her. Governess. G-U-V-N-E-S.
Goodness.
It's how he pronounces it.
He can pronounce perfectly well when it suits him. No, he fancies that rough North Country web.
What are you looking at out the window, Rebecca?
A carriage drawing up. I think, well, yes, I'm sure.
It's the North Country himself.
Oh, no doubt the poor little rooster will fall into another kind of fuddle. Think you he doesn't know it? Aha, he does. Not as great a fool as Matilda would have him. But he will endure her insults for only a glimpse of his Becky.
I knew Pitt would come, knew it. I must remember to sound very ill.
Oh, dear, I don't look very ill anymore. Fetch that white powder, Becky.
Why, Miss Crawley? So I look pale as a ghost at cockscrow.
Why do you bother? You say Sir Pitt pretends affection and you laugh at him, yet you pretend as well. In some way, do you fear Sir Pitt as he fears you?
What nonsense! It's a little horrid game I do so enjoy playing, watching Sir Pitt twitch. Hand me the powder quickly. He'll be up.
Not without Miss Briggs announces him. Let me go down and see him a moment before he does.
Why ever would you want to?
Miss Crawley, Sir Pitt knows right well you won't send me back because he asks it. He will ask, knowing the answer. He really is here to see me, to implore you.
Come on, go down there and be implored. But first, the powder.
Oh, Becky, Becky, prettier than ever I recollected.
You're cold, Sir Pitt. Stand close by the fire.
When be you coming home? What does her upstairs say of that?
She says when she's well.
But she does say she will send you.
Oh, yes.
You, Becky, you want to come back?
Oh, can you ask such a thing? I miss the little girls very much. And Lady Crawley.
And me.
And you. I miss sassing you and you letting me and both of us laugh.
Can't sass Matilda, I'll wager.
Oh, she would have an apoplexy straight away.
Tis what I'll have if you don't come soon. Oh. The old house is a desert without you. Christmas near like it is. You'll beg Matilda to let you come. Christmas. I've a present for you.
Sir Pitt, first, tell me, how is Lady Crawley?
Fine. Fit as a fiddle. From her, the present is in one of my pockets somewhere.
You're sure she's well? Have you paid any attention to know if she is or no? Did you have a doctor from London as I told you to do?
Ah, here they be. Look, you. Red and green mittens. Knitted them, her ladyship did.
Oh, mittens. Oh, how sweet. How very sweet.
Sent her love as well, told me to give it to you.
Oh, and give her mine. Say, I miss her very much, I do.
Oh, well now, a tear on your cheek. Is it a thing to bawl about, red and green mittens?
I think so, yes. You haven't answered me. Is she well? She holds her life but slackly.
Could her knit mittens where she ailing more than ever she is?
No, of course she couldn't. Oh, they're so merry. I do love them. Will you tell her so? And I'll write her too.
Now, that's more than enough of her ladyship. I'd best go upstairs and toad it to me blasted sister. Ugh. She's all better, I hope.
I'm afraid very little. You'll see how she's pale as a ghost at cockcrow.
Ah, but you with roses in your cheeks.
Oh, and that's enough of Becky Sharp. Come along, little rooster.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Bundy, what think you of Miss Rebecca Sharp? Don't fancy you know her yet. Does anyone? Many things is Becky Sharp, and some do not match at all. Tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Bundy, I am your obliged servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Dan Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Dan Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Bob, wake up. Oh, wake up, honey. Look out the window. Isn't that beautiful? And it's still coming down. My mother used to say Mother Goose is plucking her geese and throwing the feathers away.
Yeah, you tell me that every year.
Oh, come on. Wake up, Grumpy, and look out the window. Well, so lovely. Whole countryside looks as though it had been covered with mounds of shaving cream.
Oh, come on. Can't you be more poetic than that? Mm. Now, how about it looking like melted marshmallows?
Oh, it's not bad, dear. Raise your head off the pillow now. Come on, look at it.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty.
Pretty. It's glorious. I love snow.
I don't love it as much as I used to. Frankly, I can hardly face the thought of the next few months. Snow tires, chains, icy roads, scraping the windshield, boots, overshoes, losing my gloves, driving with frozen fingers.
You know, if you had a definite place to put your good winter gloves and you came in the house at night, you wouldn't always be tearing around in the morning looking for them.
You tell me that every year, too.
I get up and get dressed. I tell you that every morning. Now it's late. I'm all ready to go down and get breakfast.
Okay. You go down and get breakfast. I'll be right there.
I'm not leaving the bedroom until you are out of bed.
Oh,
look! The evening grosbeaks are back!
Hooray!
Well, it is hooray. Last year, the Blue Jays drove them away, and we only had about 10 evening grosbeaks all year.
Yeah, well, you better get downstairs and get out there and fill the bird feeders in, huh?
I am, not until you get out of bed now. Come on, dear, it's late.
Late? Yeah. Oh, it is not. I can sleep 15 minutes more.
No, you can't. You have to call Ray to come up with a snowplow, and everybody will be calling him, and you can't get the car out until he does come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean about the glorious snow.
And I want to discuss Christmas presents with you, too. If possible, I want to get into town and do some shopping today. An awful lot. Come in. Oh, good morning, Aunt Maggie.
Did you look outside?
I know. Isn't it beautiful?
Mother always said Mother Goose is plucking her geese and throwing the feathers away.
My mother said that.
I don't know why the women in my family are always so darn cheerful in the morning. It takes me an hour just to wake up.
Breakfast in 15 minutes, so hurry up.
There's the cardinal.
Oh.
Doesn't that red look just lovely against the snow?
Yes. Oh. Where is his mate? Oh, there she is, up on that branch.
Well, she's not as pretty as she.
No, the female birds never are, which doesn't seem at all fair. But I don't think even women's lib can do much about that.
No, I don't think so. Oh, there's the jungle. Oh, some chickadees. Oh, what is that? Over there, by the rhododendron.
Oh, that's a brown thrasher.
I'm sitting here waiting for breakfast that was going to be ready 10 minutes ago. All I have is a cup of coffee.
And look! Look off the tree trunk. Oh, what is that? A woodpecker of some kind.
Yes,
what are they called?
Where's the bird book? I think that's a downy woodpecker. I'm going to make a list this year of the birds we get out here. Get paper and pencil, Maggie, while I get the bird book.
What about breakfast?
Oh, look! Look up there! A pink breast and a patch of red on his head.
Oh, yes, I said say, where is my bird book? I keep it right here in my cooking book.
Is this it?
Yes, look under finches. Uh-huh. I think that's a finch of some kind.
What about something to eat?
Oh, I fed the birds, dear, half an hour ago, and I filled three of the feeders, and that maggot cleared the snow away on the ground there, and we waited and waited. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, four evening grosbeaks came, and then a whole bunch of them, and within the last 10 minutes, all these other birds.
Oh, it's just been so exciting to look out the window and see them.
How about breakfast for me?
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry, dear. What do you want, dear?
Here's paper and pencil to start the bird list.
Well, you started that, Maggie.
All right.
Oh, look at those blue jays swooping down.
Well, the blue jays have to eat, too.
Oh, they're so selfish. They're greedy. They take everything.
Here, finches. Oh, that must be a redpoll out there.
Redpoll, yeah, I think that's what it is. Last year, Aunt Maggie,
Have you fed the cat?
I fed the cat, dear. I had several grosbeaks. And the first year we moved here...
Did you feed the dog?
Fed the dog, dear. Uh-huh. The first year we had scarlet tanagers. No, I think they were in the summertime, though.
And since you have fed the birds and the cat and the dog, do you think you could get around to feeding your husband?
Oh, you poor dear. What do you want?
I don't know. You said breakfast would be ready, but if you're not fixing me anything, I can put some toast in for myself.
Oh, fine. Would you do that, darling Aunt Maggie? And I've been so busy here.
Yes, I can see that.
There's some squirrels over there.
Yeah, the squirrels. They're as bad as the blue jays. If I go into town today, I'm going to look for a bird feeder the squirrels can't get into. Or the blue jays. Uh-huh. And I think they have some.
I do, too. Yeah. I'm always seeing them advertised. But I forget where. Magazines.
Yeah, I think I'll go to the hardware. Bob, did you call Ray LaFogue to come and plow the drive? Now, if I'm going to get the car out today and go shopping...
I called him for the very simple reason that it may just be as important that I get my car out today since I have to go to work and earn a living.
Yeah.
Of course, that may not be quite as important as buying squirrel-proof bird feeders. However...
Oh, look! Look! Down there! Oh, don't move by the juniper bushes. A rough grouse.
Oh, my goodness. Is that what that is? Looks like a pheasant.
No, it's a rough grouse.
Oh.
It is so wonderful to live in the country.
Where's the rough grouse?
Right down there. Oh. Don't move. Don't scare it now.
I'll be tired. Hey. Oh, boy, it really is beautiful out, isn't it?
Yeah, now he's waking up, Aunt Maggie. When is Ray coming to plow up the driveway?
He said he'd get here as soon as he could. What's the matter?
The driveway?
What are you talking about, dear?
Oh, no. The car keys.
What car keys?
Your car keys. I borrowed your car last night to drive over to Elaine's and take back her cheesecake pan. Remember, I couldn't find my car keys, so I borrowed yours and took your car.
Yes.
Well, I dropped them getting out of the car. It was dark, and I thought, I'll find them in the morning on the driveway.
You mean they're out there buried under the snow?
Yes, they're out there buried
under the snow. Well, come on. Let's get the snow shovels and get busy.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I do not know what has happened to the snow shovel. There's no point in yelling at me.
We had two snow shovels. They've been right here in the garage all summer. Now I can't find either one of them.
I don't know why you need them anyway.
And Maggie, I dropped Bob's car keys last night on the driveway.
I know all that, but if you shovel up the snow, you'll probably shovel up the car keys as well and just toss them into a pile of snow that you're shoveling up.
Aunt Maggie has a point.
It seems to me if you dropped the car keys when you got out of the car, you were then in the garage, and the car keys should be here in the garage.
Oh, dear, I had them in my hand. Then I came out and closed the garage doors, and I was carrying some books Elaine lent me, and in some way the car key just flew out of my hand.
Flew out of your hand?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you turn on the outside lights and look for them then?
I was cold, and I just thought, I'll just come out and find them right away in the morning. I didn't know it was going to snow.
Well, we listened to the weather last night, and it said snow.
All right, I forgot. I don't know. Anyhow, the fact remains the car keys are under the snow somewhere around this area of the driveway.
Oh, that's great. Just great.
Isn't that a snow shovel over there behind those tires?
Oh, right over there, dear. Thank you, Aunt Maggie. I looked right at it. Didn't even see it. And here's the old shovel, too.
Aunt Maggie, there's no reason you have to stay out here. You go on in the house. It's cold.
Oh, no. I like to be where the action is, as the kids say nowadays.
Certainly not much action going on. Look, Bob, why don't you scoop off the top of the snow, and I'll kind of stamp around. Maybe I'll step on them and we can find them that way.
Why couldn't you get a magnet that would just pick up the keys?
That's a marvelous idea. What about
my car keys are in a leather case.
Mm. Yeah, or if we had a Geiger counter.
I don't think we know anybody with a Geiger counter, do you?
No, I just met it with an idea.
Splendid idea. And a far better one would be to get down on our hands and knees and crawl around till we find them.
Listen, the snow is light and fluffy, Aunt Maggie, and I could stamp around and then you shovel after us. You get the idea? I mean...
The idea I've got is that it's the last time I lend you my car keys.
Oh, true. Well, there's Ray.
You folks want to get out of the drive so I can plow it out?
Wait a minute, Ray. Ray, we lost some car keys.
Don't you have another set of car keys for Bob's car?
Well,
I lost them, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, my, I never saw two people who lose things as much as you two do.
If you had a place for everything and everything in its place.
Oh, wait a minute. Look at the time. I'm going to be late to work.
The time? Oh, I forgot Debbie. I was supposed to wake her up and her alarm isn't working. Aunt Maggie, would you go in?
All right. I'll go in and wake her.
Now, Debbie's going to be furious. She'll be late to school.
What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, hi, Ray. My wife lost some car keys. My car keys on the drive here last night.
Boy, all covered with snow now, huh?
Yeah.
No point in my using the plow. I just probably shovel them right up. So I'll have to come back later.
Well, how much later? I've got to get to work.
Can't say. Got several other people to plow out. Good luck. Be back as soon as I can.
All right, don't glare at me. I'm truly sorry. Start shoveling and I'll start stamping. Now, don't worry. We'll find them. You know, you haven't said good morning to me. And don't say what's good about it.
Good morning. Now, let's find the keys.
Yes, sir.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville. Music supervisor John Anthony, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Claro. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold, the story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Jason, Dr. Carter.
Never mind that doctor stuff, Joe, after what we've been through.
Yes, I understand. You're going in for coffee?
Uh-huh. And to get away from the telephone.
I've just finished, or I'd join you. How's Emily?
Well, she slept at home last night, only because Angela was on duty here and could check on Jennifer. Emily felt she could relax, you see. But she's still worried about Jen and possibility of brain damage.
Well, we'll know more this afternoon when we remove the trach tube and Jen can talk.
Yes, yes. Joe, did I ever say thanks?
Oh, Jason, I consider myself the luckiest man I know. Just being in the right place and being able to do the right thing.
Well, you can say that, but we know we owe you Jennifer's life.
How is Emily herself?
Oh, she seems all right. She's been through an awful lot.
Yes. Well, I'll see you later.
He knows Emily's case. I'll bet he suspects something. He's too good a doctor not to.
Jason! Oh, Jason, over here!
Oh, hi, Helen.
Oh, am I disturbing you? You look so thoughtful.
No. Let me get some coffee and I'll join you, okay? Do you want another cup?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Hi.
Now, how is Jennifer?
Well, she slept pretty well. Angela was with her last night.
Oh, well, maybe I can help out. Perhaps tonight.
Oh, Helen, I don't think that'll be necessary, but thanks.
Just what did happen to Jennifer? I got only the barest details when you called your father.
Oh, yes, that's right. You were there for the holiday.
Oh, and we had a fine time. Well, until your phone call, of course.
Well, you see, Jen slipped or fell into the lake. There was very thin ice on it, and she broke through it and...
Oh.
And she floated out under it.
Wasn't anyone with her?
Well, she wasn't very far from the cabin. She knows the whole area around there. Anyway, when Joe Gonzalez and I found her, she'd floated out about 15 feet away from shore. She'd been underwater for at least 45 minutes.
How could she? And still be alive?
Well, the cold lowered her body temperature to 75 degrees, Helen, and demand for oxygen was reduced.
Oh, but that long, Jason. What? I've never heard of anything like it before.
Well, fortunately, Joe had.
What do you mean?
Well, Joe had just read up on a case where a boy had been submerged for 40 minutes, and he was revived.
Fantastic. Mm. Is there any permanent damage?
Well, that's something we don't know yet. She's breathing with a trach tube now, but she seems alert. We've had to feed oxygen directly into her lungs.
Oh, but the early oxygen deprivation...
Yes, I know. Well, we'll find out about that when she's able to speak.
It must be difficult for Emily.
Yes, of course she knows there's a possibility of brain damage.
Was it necessary to tell her?
Well, of course it was, Helen.
I only meant... Well, with all, she has to worry about her own condition.
Yes, I know.
Have you heard from Dr. Szabo yet?
Well, actually, we've been concentrating on Jennifer.
Oh, of course you have. Listen, I was wondering, with Emily and Angela spending so much time at the hospital, maybe I could help fill in at your house.
Oh, no. You've got enough to do, Helen. I understand you saw all the Brixton kids had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, they're getting better now, so if I could help Emily in any way...
Well, I'll ask her, Helen, but Bobby's home right now, you see, and he and Susie do carry on.
Oh, you really have a wonderful family, Jason.
Well, sometimes I wonder.
It's almost made me wish Paul and I had wanted children.
What made you decide not to?
Oh, a lot of things. I think Paul was ambitious and, well, I was able to help him get the clinic started. And what Paul and I had been through in Korea, well, bringing children into a world always on the brink of war.
Well, I might have felt that way, too, except for Emily.
Well, maybe that's why you married her instead of me. You wanted a mother for your children.
Oh, come on in.
I'm not disturbing you?
No, I'm just taking a break. The floor nurse is with Jennifer now. You know, being able to stay here in the hospital next to Jen has been a godsend.
No, I looked in on her. She looks fine.
Well, you know how children snap back. When I think of how she looked when we took her out of the water, she was absolutely blue.
I know. Jason told me. Emily... Is there anything I can do to help?
No, thanks. Angela's taken over. I can always count on her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've noticed. How have you been feeling?
Me? Mm. Well, fine. I really hadn't had time to think about it.
Your headaches haven't come back?
Not as long as I stay on the medication.
Hi, honey.
Oh, Jason.
How are you?
All right, dear.
Oh, hello, Helen.
Well, I didn't expect to see you so soon again.
Well, the nurse said you were in here, Emma.
Yes, is Jennifer all right?
Yes, darling. We're going to take the trach tube out now. Do you want to...
Oh, at last. That means she'll be able to talk.
Well, honey, she might be a little confused.
I'll see you later. I'll be thinking of you and Jennifer.
Thanks, Helen.
Well, how are you and Helen getting along, darling?
We're just fine. Why?
Well, she's offered to help out at the house while Jen's in the hospital.
Yes, I know, but I told her we can manage. Angela's doing her usual thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think Helen really enjoys the kids, darling. Maybe she and Paul should have had a family.
All right, Jennifer. Today's the day. Now, when we take that tube out of your throat, you're going to be able to talk again.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Emily. You're here for the big event.
Oh, we wouldn't miss it, would we, honey?
How are you, Pumpkins?
All right now, Jen. I'll hold your hand.
Maybe a little drum roll, please. All right. Now, first we pull off the adhesive tape very carefully. And now, the tube. You will feel it a little, Jen. Oh, that's fine, honey. Here we go. Now, don't say anything for a moment. First, a little bandage. There. That looks pretty good. Now, how do you feel?
Thirsty.
Oh, darling.
Just wet your lips for a little while longer.
Here, darling, here.
In a day or so, you'll be able to drink and have...
Jen, do you know where you were, honey?
The hospital, Daddy.
Oh, yes, that's right, honey.
My throat hurts.
Oh, Jason,
you'll
can't
get better fast, Jen. Don't worry.
Jen, do you remember what happened?
I was asleep.
Well, I mean before that.
I don't know.
Oh, Jason.
Honey, do you know why you're in the hospital?
I didn't step down on the ice.
Oh, darling, don't worry about that.
It was cold, Daddy. And I called for you.
Yes, I know, Pumpkins.
Honey, you'll soon be ready to go home, and we'll have our Thanksgiving dinner, and... Oh, Charlie will be so glad to see you.
Charlie?
Charlie, Jen. Your kitten, remember? We left him with Betsy Foster.
A kitten? My very own? You're going to get me a kitten?
Oh, God. Jason, she doesn't remember.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.